scripture's been read out of 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 22. And I just want to talk about the thought, the house of covenant. That's what we are, the house of covenant. I'm fascinated by words. I'm fascinated by words because not only do words have meaning, but words in the hands of certain people give a certain level of emphasis. And sometimes words in the hands of the wrong people can take away the significance of what stuff means. So sometimes when you go to different churches and different places, people decide to kind of pick up certain things, and because they sound churchy, they decide to use them and have no earthly clue as to the importance of that word. One day when I was in college, I sat around and people kept on talking about covenant this, covenant that, and it started getting on my nerves because I felt as if people were starting to throw around stuff just a little too loosely. Amen. Like, we got to be in covenant with one another. Do you even know what that means? Or are you attempting to sound more than you are? You know those people that decide that they learned a few words out of the dictionary one day? And they want to prove to you that they know some stuff? And they don't even know the meaning of things? One day I decided, when look up covenant, I had a basic idea. You know, you're in church long enough, you have a basic idea. One day I looked it up, and when you hear the word covenant, hear it with a different tone after today, if you've never heard it this way. A covenant is, to loosely put it, a deep, nearly relational contract. Let me put it to you a certain way. It's a deep relational contract. And it's so deep, as a matter of fact, that if I come into an agreement with you and we agree on certain things, if I don't hold up my end of the bargain, I have to basically pay you every aspect of that agreement, no matter what. I ain't worried about the baby.
That's right.
Leave the baby alone. Y'all stay here. Because she might be the only one shouting up in here.
That's right.
Covenant is a deep contract. So if we say we go into business together, and since we're going into business together, we're deciding together we're going to try to make a profit, do this, do that. I'm going to handle the advertising. You're going to handle the organizational structure. Yes. And you are going to handle the bookkeeping.
Yes.
If we're coming in as equal partners, okay, right? If I don't keep my end of it, if I break the agreement, I owe you for what you would have lost.
All right.
It's not just the dissolving of the thing. It is, I have to then pay you,
yes,
according to future profits you lost. What you invested in the company to begin with. So I'm not just giving up my third. I said broken third. I'm not just giving up my third. I am in a position where I have to restore to you what you lost. That's a covenant. So it's not a contract. It's deeper than that. So whenever people start throwing that around and being churchy with it, most people
people do not understand how deep it is when God says, I'm coming into covenant with my people. Because based on that premise, based on that one premise, God says, I'm going to do my part, and all I ask you to do is just roll with me. Based on the premise of covenant, yes, we have probably found ourselves in more debt,
yes, yes,
to God than to any entity on planet Earth. Amen. I want you to get how deep this is. We can't repay God. Just can't. It ain't long enough. Your credit ain't long enough. Even people with quote unquote perfect, you ain't got enough to pay God back for what God has invested in you. You ain't got it.
That's right. That's right.
If we were legalistic, we all be in trouble. Okay, maybe I ain't gonna tell your stuff, I'll tell my stuff. When I think about all the mess that I've done that was against God, I know for a fact that I'd be paying until eternity, and even then, I might not get in.
Preach, Pastor. Preach. Amen.
Be in trouble. Because God said, I'm coming into agreement, yes, with
sir,
you.
Yes, sir.
On certain things.
Yes,
now,
sir,
what does that have to do with us? Understanding that we're coming into covenant with God, mm-hmm, ought to change some things about how we not only conduct ourselves with God, but with one another.
One another. Amen.
Because the deep part is, let me get to the end of before, in the beginning before I get there. The end result is God put so many provisions in the covenant that even though we were probably going to break it, God made sure that he put some provisions in there to make sure we would never have to be in a position to have to pay him back. See, that's shopping time, see? We're still working on shopping. The provision was grace, mercy. And if you read your Bible before the New Testament, if the Old Testament is not a sign of God's grace, I don't know what it is. Because based off of the law, there are so many times that Israel should have been messed up and messed over and done, that we shouldn't even have an Old Testament.
Amen. Amen.
God put into place, yes, provisions to make sure that as much as we might try in our humanity, mm-hmm, that even when we break the covenant, he would not allow us to fall off.
Amen.
That's good news. But see, information ought to change us too. So because I know it's there, doesn't mean I should abuse it. Just because I know I have grace doesn't mean that I should abuse it. Just because I know mercy exists doesn't mean I should abuse it. It means that my demeanor, the way I function, the way I interact, the way I approach things ought to be different because I'm in a relationship like that with God.
Yeah, yeah.
Hear out this text. What do we know? Final review. Solomon prayed.
Yes.
Prayed for the nation.
Yes.
Prayed for himself. Prayed that God would hear them on every level. That God would hear the people even when they fell short.
Amen.
Would hear the people when they had genuine repentance in their heart. Would hear the foreigner even when they didn't know God for themselves.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
They shouted, mm-hmm, for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They praised God for 2 weeks. They had church for 2 weeks.
168 hours each week. They just kept going. Solomon paid for their food, made sure they didn't lose any money on the job. The whole nation came and they shouted. And why did they shout that long? Because the Lord showed up. And when the Lord showed up, the Lord literally pushed the entire leadership out of the temple. And let his glory rest. After the shouting, was over, then God responds, and that's where we are.
All right.
So God had heard all the praise.
Yes,
God had seen all the worship.
Yes.
God said, okay, now that y'all are quiet, let me give you my response. I heard what you said, Solomon. I heard every part of it. You're good. I heard that if you mess up, you're going to repent. I heard all that. I've seen all that. All good. But here's something I need to put in here. If you mess up and everything's cut off, if you are truly what you say you are, that's it. Here comes 2 Chronicles 7:40. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will what? Heal the land. So guess what? I heard everything you said. I took it all in. So here's all you got to do. You do your best to follow me anyway. But since you want to be in covenant with me, you want me to be present with you, you want all these things, if you mess up, because I know you will, here's all you got to do.
All right.
When you know you fell short, humble yourself. Talk to me.
Yes.
Seek me.
Yes, Lord.
And turn your back on what you did.
Yes.
And when you do that, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to hear you. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to heal. That's a powerful word. I'm going to heal. It says in the text, heal the land. Whatever your land is, I'm going to heal it. I'm going to what? Restore it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So when you do that, my eyes will be open. And I'm going to attend to your prayer. I'm going to pay attention to it. But let me tell you something. Here's where covenant comes in. Let me tell you something. If you stop seeking me, if you make a conscious decision to turn your back on me, if you make up in your mind you don't need me all of a sudden, and you want to go after everything else, let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to take the stuff, and I'm going to kick you out. Now that sounds harsh. That sounds real harsh. But the standard has been set.
Yes.
God says, I'm going to do whatever you need me to do when you come to me with humility.
Yes.
I am not going to despise you because I don't need to kick you any more than you're kicking yourself. There's a word in there, y'all. Sometimes we need to listen to God in different ways. You know, some folk do know what they've done and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to come up behind them and kick them when they're not. God said, I already know you have a propensity to mess up because I created humanity in my first creation that I took time to create messed up. So I know
know it's in your DNA. You will mess up somewhere. But since I know that, all I'm asking you to do is come to me. And we'll work it out. Wow. Come to me and we'll work it out. Come to me and we'll work it out. But listen to what I'm telling you. The moment you don't want to work it out, the moment you look at what I've already set up for you to make sure you're preserved, you want to go. Some people be like, you're making God sound jealous. You're making God sound somewhat like us. Imagine for a minute, you have made up in your mind with your child from the time they were born to whenever. There is nothing in this world I will not do. There is nothing in this world I will not do. Well, I'll talk about me. I've made up in my mind when it comes to Charles Jeremiah Ferguson, there is nothing in this world I will not do for that boy. Period. There is nothing in this world I will not do for my son.
Say it. Say it.
Right? And I pray every day that the day never comes when my son will look me in my face and tell me that what I've done for him was not enough.
Oh, mercy, mercy.
And I pray the day never comes that he look at me in my eyes and tell me that anything that his parents have done for him was not enough. And he don't need us no more.
No, mercy, mercy, mercy.
Because the day that happens, he will have said that he can do it all by himself. I'm teaching
these.
Yes, we teach independence. But even the most independent person still needs somebody.
Yes, amen.
I do a whole lot of stuff and don't require no help. But what happens when you get overwhelmed and you can't do it all no more? You need somebody. So life teaches us everybody needs somebody. What God is saying is, I know already your limitations. And I'm setting this thing up according to your ability. You can only go so far. And I know you will more than likely mess up somewhere sometime. You will fall short sometime. You will come up short sometime. I have already set it up that if you do, all you got to do is come here. But the moment you say to me that we can't do this, then guess what? You're going to have to go for yourself.
All right.
Because guess what?
Right.
That is still a choice.
All right.
Okay. Everybody wants me to talk about the love of God. Yes, I'm going to do that all the time. Everybody wants me to talk about the grace of God. I'm always going to do that. Yes. But guess what? Yes. We are human beings and we still make choices.
That's right.
You got to choose to keep pressing towards God.
Amen.
Or you got to choose to let go. Because God has already done some things according to the covenant.
Amen.
And here's what the covenant teaches us.
Amen.
One, the covenant teaches us that God chose us.
God chose us.
Yes.
No entity in the world that I can imagine would go through all this stuff with us. All right. Well, let me lighten it up. My grandparents have been married for over 60 years. Alright? They've been married for over 60 years. I love my grandparents, I do. My grandmother, my grandfather are like night and day. And I'm not talking about like the difference between 9 a.m. and like 5:30 during the winter. I'm talking about the difference between midnight and noon. They different. My grandmother loud and say everything on her mind, whether she right is rain or wrong is rain. My grandfather is content with sitting in his chair, not being loud and minding his business. And as he taught me once, he says, I will not speak unless it improves the silence. My mother is here, am I right? Thank you. She the baby. That's why she didn't speak too loud just now. She the baby. She don't want to lose faith.
Amen.
Day is different as night and day. So the question that I had before I got married was this. I grew up down with all these folks. Me and my people. We got to speak DNA. I couldn't deny I was my mama's child if I wanted to. I got some of my grandfather's personality. I asked him, How? And he said, you got to know God to be able to do this as long. And he wasn't saying it as a joke. He was saying it as being as real as it gets.
Amen. Amen.
You got to know God and know this about God. Yes. That God chose you. I said yes to Jesus, but before I did that, he chose me.
Hallelujah.
How do you know that? Because I didn't see Jesus die. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, right? While I was in my mother's womb, everything had already been set up that I might live. So even when I'm living and dealing with stuff day by day, I live in a way where I know that I've been chosen by God. Not arrogantly, but sometimes with a different air of confidence. So when folk talk to me crazy, before I get petty, and y'all don't even know how petty I can be, God reminds me,
yes, Lord.
Listen,
yes, Lord.
I chose you,
yes.
So you ain't gotta be like that. You need to know I got you. I know they're talking reckless. You ain't gotta say nothing. Because I chose you, I will fight your battle. Because I chose you, I'm going to make a way of escape.
Yes.
I'm going to keep your mouth shut and let you walk through the foolishness,
yes,
and come out on the other side where they got to know that I have already blessed you and you won't have to tell nobody.
Amen. Amen.
Ain't got to say nothing. If my people who are called to call somebody means you have relation.
Yes.
Called by my name. You,
yes,
have my name.
Yes, yes.
I'm not asking for anybody else. I'm asking for you. If you, yes, I chose you. I chose Israel. I chose you.
Amen.
So if you're going through, if you, who have I've called my own,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come. We'll work it out.
Hallelujah.
The covenant teaches me about having confidence in being chosen by God. It teaches me that even if other folk don't love me, God loves me. That even,
yes,
if folk won't talk to me,
yes,
the first thing I know is that the Lord loved me enough to what? Wake me up this morning, get me up out of bed, food on my table, clothes on my back.
Yes, sir.
I'm able to stand,
yes,
upright,
sir,
even when sometimes I may be in pain.
Yes.
Even the pain,
yes,
lets me know that I can feel.
Yes,
chose me.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Covenant reminds me chosen. But number two, the covenant teaches me that rejection is an adverse option.
That's right.
Look at the text.
Verse 19 says, but if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you and this house that I have consecrated for my name. I will cast you out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And at this house which is exalted, everyone passing by will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? It is not a good option to reject God. Because God will allow you to go through. People be like, well, that sounds right. No. God will allow you to go through. God will allow you to feel every decision you make. Mm-hmm. Have you ever bought a car? Some of y'all have. And you sat there and you done gone through and negotiated and done all this stuff. You were going in there just to buy a certain car for a certain price, and folk want to haggle you. They want to go through all this extra. You done said in your mind, I got this price on my mind, and that's it. But deep down in your heart, you really want this car no matter what the price is. So you done got tired now. They done gave you all the water you can drink. Your kidneys are all good clear. You done had enough snacks to last you a lifetime. You ready and hungry. They done wore you down. You ain't got nothing else on your mind. You just want this car or not. And you done wore down from your foundation saying, I'm only going to spend this and do this. And by the time you done just said, fine, this is, we'll just do this. At first you're happy because it's over.
Yes.
But they call the next part buyer's remorse. You start thinking about all that you could have done. You start thinking about all the other things that you should have done.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why didn't I stick to it? Right. And now you're driving a car that looks good, got new car smell, but you mad all the way home. And then even after 45 days, because the first payment ain't due till 45 days after the sale, you see that payment come through and you get mad all over again. And then for the next year, you stay mad all over again. Even though you know you can refinance it, you don't even feel like doing it because you just stay mad all over again. You're feeling it. God will allow you to feel some stuff. Reject God and watch how much you're going to feel it. Say no to God when you need him most and watch how much you'll feel that. God doesn't leave. God is always present.
Always present.
Sometimes, though, we turn.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's why God says, if my people who are called humble themselves, pray, seek my face.
Yes.
You can't seek God's face without the next part. Turning from.
Yes.
If I don't turn from the thing, I can't look to you.
That's right.
Because I will constantly be focused on the thing that is bothering me, and God is trying to say, I want to help you, but all I need you to do is what? Face me. But if you keep on turning your back, say, I got it, you won't be feeling it for me. In this place, in this space,
yes,
we have to be a house where rejecting God is not an option. We have to be a place of worship that tells folk that when you seek God's face, no matter what you've done, it ain't about what you've done. It's about acknowledging that God is there to help you in times of trouble. Which leads to the last thing, that the covenant governs the representation of our relationship with God. You know why I'm probably never going to be calm as a preacher or a pastor? You know why I'm probably going to be having all kind of dry cleaning bills for the rest of my life? Because I think about being embraced by God.
Say that. Yes.
When I come to church, I don't come to church dreading it. I come to church because this is my one place where I got an outlet to be able to shout. Let folks know that God is good.
Hallelujah.
You know, they say that certain denominations are quote unquote dry or this or that or whatever. I don't believe that's true.
No.
I believe that everybody that goes to church, no matter where they go, they don't always have the opportunity to be able to let God know how much they really want to thank God. Part of that is sometimes we never take the time to really think about it. But can I share something with you?
All right.
If you really think about how good God is and how God set up all kinds of stuff just to make sure you didn't fail, even when you might fail. Wait a minute, I said something. Think about what God did to make sure that you wouldn't fail, even if you did fail. God doesn't want you to fail, but just in case you fall short, He already set it up where you can be caught. That's the kind of God I serve.
Amen.
And the beauty of serving a God like that is knowing that if I fall short, He will catch me before I fall on my face. And sometimes, even when I feel like I fell on my face, God will say, I want to restore you to being better than when you went through. And even if for a moment I get scared and say, I can't go to God with this, God will tell you in His own way, I don't care what you've done, I want to make it better. So when you see me smiling when I'm hurt, shouting when I probably should be crying, lifting up my hands when I should be on my face, crying tears of joy when my body's racked in pain. When you see me go around still loving on folk that hate on me, when you see me say that God is good even though the world is still a mess, when people see you and you're shouting about provision even though you just lost your job, when you go around and let folk know that God still reigns on the throne even though there are people in positions that don't want to see you succeed, when you are walking around saying that I know that only the Lord can keep me when everything is falling apart around me, sign that you're not just in relationship, but you're in covenant with God.
That's right.
Before they come up in here, they should not be coming up in here just to see what the preacher going to do. They should be able to look at you.
Come on now.
And possibly even know your business.
Yes, Lord.
And say, how is it possible?
Thank you, Jesus.
How?
Yes, Lord.
How?
Yes, Lord.
And all you're able to do is say, well, if you knew the God I serve. Let me get churchy for about 30 seconds. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am His own. Maybe that'll get some of y'all a little revved up. And every once in a while, you ought to be able to thank God that He loves you like that, and that no matter what you are going through, that ain't going to change.
Thank you.
Paul said it a different way.
Hallelujah.
For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, no height, depth, or anything in the world can separate me from the love of God. That's the God you serve. That no matter what you face
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
So in this place,
yes,
it's the house of the covenant.
A place where you can come knowing that the Lord will do what he said. Knowing that you're not so far gone that he won't come through.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you're not so out of it that God won't show up. Because God shows up for those that are his own. If my people called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked way, then I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive their sins and heal the land.